All right, I'm at a website right now. I don't know how accurate it is, which is really a great way to start, but it's called usdebtclock.org, and it keeps a live look at what the national debt is. It claims our national debt is over $30 trillion. Different sites say different things. Basically, for each of us, it's about 91 grand, according to this site. But how much do you actually know about the national debt? How much does it actually impact your life? To answer those questions and more is Professor Mike Miller of DePaul. Professor, always great to have you on. Thanks for hopping on the line with us.
Oh, it's going to be my pleasure.
All
what
right.
What can I do for you tonight?
Oh, well, let's talk about the national debt in a segment I like to call Explain It Like I'm 10, because I think a lot of people claim to know what the national debt is and pretend it's this terrible thing. Maybe it is, but they don't really get it. So I guess from the beginning, the national debt is something that has been part of our country the whole time we've existed, correct?
Since 1791. There was maybe one brief period of about 5 years in the 1830s where there was no national debt. Andrew Jackson paid it off. But since then, since the 1830s, yes, we have had a national debt the whole time.
And national debt in and of itself is not a bad thing. We want to borrow from people and pay them back and establish a line of credit, correct?
That's right. That's why Alexander Hamilton did it in the first place. He had this new country, and countries like France and England had already created a financial system, and we wanted to be part of it. And one way to do it would be to borrow money and to pay back religiously, and then we could create a world.
Right. And for the most part, that's worked pretty successfully. I mean, we're the highest rated currency. I don't know if there's a power rankings for currency, but certainly American dollars are valued all over the world.
That's right. One thing that makes the United States debt unique is that it has no chance of default, what is called credit risk. What is the probability that you will not get back a part or all of your dollars that you give to the federal government? The probability is zero. And the reason that's the case is because the federal government can print U.S. dollars. So if they owe you money and they don't have the tax revenue to do it, and they can't borrow at the moment, they can simply print the dollars and give them to you.
Okay.
So you will always have, you'll always get paid back.
Okay, but that makes me a little, that gives me some trepidation. Does that give economists worry,
sure,
the idea of just printing money if they need it?
Oh, sure. So the thing is, the money that they give you won't be worth as much because it would create inflation. But we've never been in that situation.
Okay.
If the federal government went to borrow and no one was there, that's what is called a failed auction. We've never had a failed auction. Everybody wants government treasuries because they are safe and they're denominated in dollars, and the dollars are good throughout the world. So we've always had people who would be willing to lend to the U.S. government.
Generally speaking, does the average family feel an effect of the national debt, at least as we've had it so far in this country's history? Do you understand what I'm trying to ask?
Well, you can think of it positive, negative. A debt is fine if you use it for a good thing. If you borrow money to play the lotto, that's really dumb.
Right.
That's bad debt. If you borrow money to go to college or to buy a car that you will use to go to work to pay your bills, those are all good things. There's nothing wrong with that kind of credit. So the same thing would be true here. If the federal government is borrowing the money to help people who are in need because we just don't have the money, for example, during a pandemic, you can't raise taxes when things were so bad, that's when the government needs to step in. They can borrow that money based upon the full faith of that they're going to return the money to us eventually. And that's a good thing. In terms of hurting the households, they have to pay, of course, the interest on the debt. So, you know, that $30 trillion you're talking about, when interest rates are essentially near zero, there's not much of a burden. That's called debt service. How much money do I have to pay in interest to keep this debt going? But if interest rates rise considerably, that debt service will rise, and households will be asked to pay for that in part by an increase in taxes.
I wanted to make sure I understand that. So when I think of interest rates rising, I think of the personal things I borrow. And I know credit companies increase the interest on debt that you may have,
sure,
and your mortgage rates go up and your car loans go up. But that interest rate hike also affects the payments of the national debt. Am I understanding that correctly?
Well, when the government sees some of the national debt is always coming due, the government borrows money short term, 3 months, 6 months, intermediate 5 or 7 years, and they borrow some money for 30 years. But on almost any given day, some U.S. government debt is coming due. Mm-hmm. And since the government doesn't have the money that, you know, at hand, they don't have enough tax revenue to continue to spend, they have to reborrow the money. So when the interest rate goes up, they have to go into the market and compete with mortgages and car loans. And therefore, the interest rate, even though it's lower than what you and I pay, because we know the government will pay us back, we have to pay a premium based upon risk. They don't. But the interest rate for the government will still rise. There's no doubt. I mean, we see that right now with the yields going up on across the board on government securities.
Professor, you're very good at explaining it like I'm 10, even though I know your students are older than that. So I appreciate this. I'm going to put you on a brief hold, and I want to answer anyone's questions that they have. 312-981-7200. If you have any questions about the national debt, I feel like we're sitting around. We're all learning here a little bit. You know, when I try and measure the debt now compared to other years, I used to always say, well, look, you got to compare it to the GDP. And everyone was complaining about, you know, debt for, you know, people complain about debt all the time. But for years, it was still lower than it was in World War II. But if I'm correct, that 2020 really saw a big spike in the national debt. Are we at historic highs in terms of however metric you want to use to show what our debt obligations are?
Well, yeah, you are correct that you want to have it relative to some number, which is your ability to pay the interest on the debt. So that's why we tend to look at it as a percent of gross domestic product. Now, if you look at it, including all years, including World War II, we're still lower than it was in World War II in terms of the percent of GDP. However, if you go with only peace a years other than World War II, you do that on purpose, then you'll see that we have the highest, and it's a little bit over 100% of GDP. Now, I've got to make one distinction, though. There's the debt comes kind of in two forms. There's the debt which is publicly traded, and that is that you and I can own it, or people in Japan or Germany or China, wherever. And then there is the part of the debt which is owned by the government itself. That would be Social Security, trust fund, and things like that. Economists worry mainly about the part that is owned, that is publicly traded. Now, we do know that that the percent of GDP for the national debt has increased dramatically. And the reason that's not a good thing is that there is some research that shows that when that ratio gets above 100%, economic growth is slow. And we're not exactly sure why, but it does tend to slow down. So there is some concern that this particular debt is going to weigh on the American economy some in the form of lower growth going forward.
Okay. I know a lot of people love to say China owns us. And is it the Chinese government that owns a lot of our debt? Is it individual investors? Where does that come from, that saying or that fear?
Sure, it's actually the government that owns that. Now, the thing is, I've talked to my colleagues about it, especially those who are experts in international economics, and the concern is not necessarily that the Chinese own, say, well over $1 trillion worth of national debt, because were they to try to dump that on the market immediately, this would cause the value of the dollar to fall, and it would cause interest rates to rise, which means the value of that bond goes down relative to the market. Now, I know this is going beyond a 10-year-old, but if the Chinese were to dump their holdings, it would hurt the Chinese.
Right.
And the Chinese are not stupid. Our concern is not necessarily that the Chinese would dump what they own. Our concern is that when we try to issue new debt, that the Chinese will not be there asking to buy new stuff.
Right.
So remember the idea, we have this auction every Monday, and I've told you that we've never had a failed auction where the federal government needs to borrow, I'll just make up a number, $10 billion, but there's only $9 billion being offered. We've never had that happen. One of the concerns would be if the Chinese decided to withdraw from the market, there is a chance that there wouldn't be enough money for there to be a successful auction. Now, the way around that, of course, is to simply offer higher interest rates, and that's what the federal government would do. And I'm sure the auction would get through just fine. But that's the fear with the Chinese. It's not that they will dump it. It's that they will not be there to provide a new dollar for this.
That's interesting. Although one could argue that the Chinese have an interest to be at that auction as well, to keep the government strong, to keep you know, to keep the U.S. government solvent, right? There's an interest there, too.
Absolutely. And also, you know, what happens is we buy much, much more from China than China buys from us. So they're sitting on a huge pile of dollars. Now, they could use those dollars to do essentially two things. They could either buy our goods and services, which they don't do very much of, or they have to buy our securities. So their only alternative would be to sit on their dollars that they earn through trade. And not stupid. Like I say, they're going to therefore invest it and earn on U.S. securities. So I'm not much concerned that the Chinese are going to somehow all of a sudden pull out of the market. So I don't see that as a as something to worry about when you go to bed each night.
Okay. And speaking of going to bed each night and worrying, does the national debt where it is worry you, other economists right now? Should we be paying it down? Are we not at a point yet where, generally speaking, we all need to worry about what the national debt is divided by all of us and how much it represents for each of us?
No, my concern is the national debt growing more quickly than what we call the nominal GDP? Is it growing more quickly or more slowly than GDP? You would like slowly than GDP, which means the ability to pay it off is growing, right? Because you have more and more, in a sense, production to deal with the debt. I've seen forecasts of the debt going forward, and I don't trust them at all because they're horribly in. But since we have nothing else to go on, what I have seen shows that over the next 10 years, that the GDP ratio to the national debt will rise only a little, which means the debt will be growing at roughly the same speed as the ability to pay the interest on the debt. And as long as we have that ratio under control, it doesn't worry me that all that much.
Okay. That's good to know. That's your perspective. I imagine economists differ on those opinions sometimes, too, though,
oh,
right?
My. Big time. Big time. See, there is one issue. I'm generally what you would call political conservative. I prefer a smaller government. By allowing the government to borrow so much, you are giving the government more power over the American economy. And so that, to some of us, that's not the best of things. But the question is, does that worry me that somehow that there's going to be a disaster because of it? I can't in all good faith say that the answer is yes, because as long as your ability to pay the interest remains, a very long debt, very large debt.
It's amazing. Someone with political views can also put them on the side and look at the numbers and actually come up with an answer. Imagine that. Professor Miller,
how about that?
I appreciate your time as always. Thanks for explaining it to me like I'm 10, okay?
Oh, that was a lot of fun.
Take care.
Oh, anytime.